The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, welcome back one more time. Afternoons with Mike here on the Shepherd Radio Network. I have Adam Brocker from the Central Florida FCA. It is true, Adam. Anytime I get to talk with anybody about FCA, I think my eyes sparkle a little bit more than normal, and a little smile just appears on my face because I love FCA. Welcome to my program.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is really great to have you here, and you've been a part of Central Florida for a couple of years, I know, and your story is what I'm just itching to hear and share with all of our listeners about what God's done in your life. Before we talk about the FCA chapter, tell us about where you grew up, how you came to know the Lord.
Sure. I grew up in Fort Myers, down on the coast, just a small city called Englewood. My father was a building contractor, and my mother was a school teacher at the local Englewood Elementary. And we grew up in a pretty simple family that they had really great moral values. I'm so grateful for the parents that the Lord gave me. But just like anybody else, we're a family full of sin.
Hey, and I don't know anyone that isn't, so you're in good company. What kind of building contracting did he do?
Just residential. Yeah, mm-hmm. Moved down from Ohio when I was 2 years old and spent the rest of my childhood in Fort Myers while he was building that business up.
Were they regular church attenders?
Yeah, we were. We were part of a local Methodist congregation that we went to on a regular basis every Sunday, all the way up through middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And was it for you something that you look back on that? Was it like a meaningful time, or was it you were going along because the family was there? How was that?
Yeah, I think as a young kid, you go because the family's there. But the picture of Jesus that I had was a picture that was on the Methodist wall with him holding a lamb underneath his arm. That was who I knew of Jesus and what I knew of faith at that point. It was really more of a communal gathering for me.
Well, what changed? What happened in your life to take you from that picture in your mind to knowing the Lord?
Sure. Well, my family stopped going to church when I was in middle school. My parents just had a very rough marriage for a season there. They decided to continue staying married until I graduated high school. But for those 6 or 7 years, just the conversations in the home were difficult. I think just relationally, our family was broken. Mm-hmm. And going to church on Sunday didn't make a whole lot of sense for us to hop in the car and go together. So I just, from that point on, ran the life of a typical teenage boy, trying to figure life out, making mistakes, getting in trouble with your buddies, and trying to survive the next day.
So basically, a guy that is an FCA usually has some sort of background in themselves. What sport did you play in?
Sure. I grew up playing soccer. I really enjoyed it. But college football was my love. I was a Florida State fan, a Bobby Bowden fan, watching some national championships through the 90s.
Now, you're hurting me just a bit because of my years in Gainesville and the fact that I'm a Gator dad. Ooh. But that's okay. We're going to move right on. All right.
You bet. Moving on from the choke it dope. But no, I really wanted to play college football at a high level too. But gosh, by the time I was a freshman in high school, I knew I wasn't going to be any taller than 5'7". And someone suggested, you know what, you can kick a soccer ball pretty far. Why don't you take up kicking a football? And so went to some kicking camps, kind of did a dual sport thing there with soccer and football, and then ran track in the spring.
Are you saying that you actually played for the Seminoles then?
I didn't. So to be fair, Sebastian Janikowski was in the same high school graduation class as I am. So there wasn't a chance for me to go to Florida State.
Oh, okay. I thought for a moment you were going to be right there with him. And I'm thinking, wow, that was a pretty big company there.
Yeah. His kickoffs going into the stands was something I couldn't match.
Yeah. Well, that's something, but I'm really grateful, but you had a love for it and you had I guess you could say because of the fact that you were a player and soccer is a real deal. It's a lot of, a growing that's going on right now in soccer in America for sure. But it was enough to make you have a desire to be around sports as a full-time living then.
It was, yeah. And it was just once again, just building great community, building a brotherhood, even in middle school, high school. I mean, those are some of the closest friendships you walk away with, or the team sports that you're playing. So soccer and football were it for me.
So what was it that happened in your life that made it to where the relationship with Jesus really took off?
Right. So my junior year of high school, I'd gotten in some trouble, like I had said, just trying to figure life out as a teenage boy, making poor choices, even to the point of close to getting expelled from high school. But was on, like I said, the football team, and there was a local pastor that was plugged in under the hood of FCA to our football team. His title would have been chaplain or character coach. And it's funny because the guy wasn't a 6'3" model athlete. He was just a pastor who loved on us and kept showing up. He was a guy there on the sidelines. He would ask you questions. How's your family doing? How do you feel about the game? How do you feel about the performance from last week? How can I pray for you? And as we just kept seeing this guy show up, I think for my heart and several of my teammates, like, what, this guy's the real deal. What is he all about? So when the season was over, myself and about 20 of my teammates started going to his local church.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And, it's just a relational connection, knowing that he cared. And it was probably the first Sunday I walked in there, the gospel was presented clearly. And I just remember with the load of sin that I had and the burden I had on my shoulders, it just came to realization. There's tears just flowing down my face. As it was presented, the other side of Jesus, the one that came to completely take away any brokenness and sin that I was involved in and up mm-hmm. to my neck in.
Isn't it amazing? Because I know you talk to people all the time, young people in school, their background would even be less than what yours was. Their image of the Lord might not even be accurate at all. You know, you had the one of seeing Jesus on the wall holding a lamb, and you know, that's, he did that. He cared. He cares about us. But there's so many people today, they've never even heard of the gospel story. They've never heard one thing about the Lord that would even be biblically accurate. It's a sad thing, isn't it?
It is. And it's the biblical literacy is just continuing to drop. And yeah, not only the Jesus on the cross, but I think many, many high schoolers, many people probably just walking our streets these days can tell you, I think Jesus died for my sins, but to know the depth of what that really means, you know, they may have heard it recited on TV somewhere, but to really be painted the picture of what that means for them personally and us holistically as a human race is something that we need to get out more.
Mm. Well, that's a great background, a great story. And did you stay there to be discipled there?
You know, I actually, my parents got divorced going into my senior year.
So they did hang together for a while, but they followed through with that.
They did. So my day of salvation of coming to know Jesus and following him happened in the same summer that my parents got split and divorced. Mm-hmm. And so I actually went to a different high school my senior year. Praise God. It opened some doors for me to go to college. But I was a guy that was probably not looking for discipleship, to be honest with you. You know, I felt that the depravity and the grace that Jesus gave me, but I call it the grace card. I love taking the grace card and slowly continuing in the same ways of mm-hmm. life that I had. And so as I changed schools mm-hmm. and friendships and, you know, would look for a couple local churches, but my parents weren't seeking that out with me. And just, I think slowly fell back into the world.
Mm-hmm. Do you see a lot of the young people that you deal with in FCA now having a similar trajectory in their lives as what you did?
I do. And it breaks my heart, yeah. To be honest. It's something that I think as an organization over the last handful of years, we've really honed in on the discipleship factor. Mm-hmm. I would say we used to somewhat be an event driven ministry, one that brought people to Jesus, but you know, connecting them to the local church and plugging them into discipleship opportunities is something that I think we've really, really honed in on.
You know, that is a sad thing. I remember years ago, a pastor I heard speak, he used this expression. He said, the trouble with our church is we often dunk them and drop them. Mm. And, you know, they get people in, you have these big events and people walk the aisle, they come down to the front, they kneel and you pray with them. And then if you don't do anything beyond that, what have you done? That is the question. And that's what this pastor was bringing up. It takes that one major commitment to disciple those. And that's really what the Lord called us to do, is to make disciples, not make converts.
Yeah. And it keeps showing up like that pastor was doing. Yeah. I've heard, that's a great analogy you just gave. I've also heard left to die on the vine, right?
Mm-hmm.
The discipleship portion and the next step of our faith is something we intentionally engage in.
Well, I think the beautiful joining together of an organization like FCA with a good, solid local church that is active, that is a 1-2 punch that's really hard to get around.
It is. And at the end of the day, we realize we're a parachurch. We aren't the local church, the ultimate solution that God gave us. But we want to plug them into the local body where they can get discipled and find community that can love on them and work through those stages of being a new believer and still maybe walking a little bit in the world and trying to figure out what it really means to follow Jesus long term.
You have to be one that loves people to do what you do. And I know that that's very evident in my meeting you today. But, you know, for a guy that's come through the difficulties, I also can imagine that some of the things that you were so broken about, and this is not to act like those aren't important, because they are. Any sin is not a good thing. But God redeems the life of the person who was a great sinner and actually gives you an empathy, perhaps, that others who didn't have that level of brokenness, or maybe whose family weren't as dysfunctional as what you experienced personally, gives you an opportunity to reach out to them.
Yeah. And I love the fact that I do have that testimony the Lord gave me. So I can walk into a locker room or a sideline where, you know, that environment's pretty intense. It's pretty ugly. It's pretty full of sin, and give grace to those who deserve it.
Now, when you think back to that guy that you mentioned, the pastor who said, who was working for FCA under the hood, I think you said it like that. That's a good expression. I got to remember that one. Kind of working maybe a little with some stealth activity going on. But that is in a real way what you get to do when you go onto the campus. And what I love about FCA so much is that there is still an openness where a lot of places have been shut down and they're not able to go act. And actually be on the campus. You guys get that, and you still are there.
It's amazing the open doors we have, and I think we just come with a posture of serving, you know, serving the local team, the coach, and the players, and even the school and community. We don't come in with our FCA agenda, with our Bible underneath our arm, but how can we serve, and what are your needs is the first question that we're asking the administration and the coaches. And I think ultimately that builds the trust and gives us the open door to do that.
Now, you've been doing this for what, about 12 years or so?
Yeah, been in an FCA staff for on and off for 12 years.
So what's it like today compared to when you joined?
Gosh, you know, a lot of my time in FCA was in Washington, D.C., and we had to tread.
Oh, one of the friendliest places in the world, right?
let's just say we had to tread carefully. We in Loudoun County, I know it's been in the news quite a bit.
Yes,
was one
it
of the
has.
Counties that,
yeah.
that I oversaw, and so FCA, we were just careful with where we walked. And I think when I came down to Florida about a year ago and jumped back onto FCA staff, I was expecting, you know, we're in the South. It's not the South, but we're in the South and the open doors are everywhere. And I'm learning quite differently that the tide is changing down here as well.
In what way?
I would just say pushback just from the culture in general, from the things that the young people are hearing, but also from an administrative level.
Mm-hmm.
I think different groups having loud voices and grabbing the ears of administration is just making it a little more difficult for Christ to be on campuses.
You know, there's this group, Freedom from Religion or whatever they are. I mean, their name pops up from here and there. It's just uncanny to me. And given the knowledge that my generation had, because it was taught to us in school about our founding fathers and the freedom to worship God, as we know part of the founding fathers' vision all was about. Yet in this day and age, we've gotten so smart and so politically correct right now that these groups are really given a lot of credence on a lot of campuses to come in and basically just rewrite history.
Yeah.
History revision. It's crazy.
Yeah, we've run into them a couple times, both in D.C. and down here in Orlando, where there's somebody sitting up in Wisconsin just trolling the websites, looking for what they can, photos of FCA doing their work, and then writing letters directly to high school principals, et cetera. And they're a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Well, we pray that you continue to have the open doors, because not only have the doors been open, but it's almost like there's been an open window to heaven that God has used FCA for many, many years. Things like the huddles that go on. And why don't you, for people who may not be aware of what an FCA huddle is, tell us about that.
Sure. So an FCA campus-wide huddle is where we grab student athletes and other students on campus. We create a student leadership team, and it serves as a club just like any other organization on campus. But they meet on a weekly basis under the FCA club, and it's student-led, where students are welcoming people, probably having food, some like pizza or snacks, having a warm icebreaker to connect people relationally, a game of some sort, hopefully in a gym or a sport environment. And then the students are sharing from the front. They're the ones sharing their testimonies, walking people through the devotional, just giving the spiritual element of the club. And it goes so far. It goes so far. And so typically within our FCA campus-wide huddles, we can have anywhere from 50 to a couple hundred people show up on a weekly basis for that. Sometimes the gospel is presented just directly and an opportunity to respond. And sometimes it's just diving into scripture and diving into the Bible as a group and having some Q&A.
What aspect of this whole process of ministry on a campus, a high school or college campus, be it either one, do you find the most rewarding?
Gosh, it goes back to my testimony, to be honest with you, to know that the percent of athletes sitting in a locker room probably haven't heard the gospel you're talking about earlier. And to have those doors, not only to bring that gospel to them, but to serve them practically in that environment. And it gives me tingles. It brings tears to my eyes. Cause I know that, there are so many open doors still and opportunities to reach not just the football team, but you're talking about the teams that don't get the credit, the volleyball teams, the cross country teams, the teams that may not get as many people to the games. FCA is there to serve in that place and root them on and be there as a friend and then share life and the truth with them.
We had an opportunity up in Gainesville a number of years ago when I was working with Don Malden up there. And of course, this program is going in Gainesville even right now over WTMN. And I'm just so much appreciative for the FCA chapter up there for how they have really taken the gospel not only to middle school and high schools and there on the UF campus, but seeing the what I would call the kind of the graduated, almost alumnus type of a thing that happens in the heart of a kid who's gone through this program. They really go on to become often volunteers in FCA.
Yeah, and we see the ones that are student leaders serving in FCA in high school typically end up being in leadership in some role in college and then beyond that into their professional careers.
And then hopefully in their local churches.
And hopefully in their local churches, coming back to serve and getting their hands dirty in the community.
Yeah. That's good. I like that too. Getting their hands dirty in the community. That's what I believe all of us need to be doing. We need to be serving the Lord and serving Him and letting other people know about Him. My guest today is Adam Brocker from Central Florida FCA. We'll be back with Adam coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike. You're on The Shepherd. In the studio with me today is Adam Brocker. He leads FCA in Central Florida. You know, I've met a lot of people in the Central Florida area. Already mentioned my friends up in Gainesville. Noah Wilbanks now is up there. He took over from Don Malden, and he also oversees Marion County a lot, and there's meetings that he has there. In Central Florida, I've met a couple of people here, Jeff Duke, who's out at UCF, and also John Evans. I know you know these guys. Mark Rickman, another name that I've interviewed him, and now you. So yeah, I've met a lot of you guys.
Yeah, God's put together an amazing team here in Central Florida, an amazing history.
I was over in a church called Paramount Church, visiting them one day in Jacksonville, and met the guy who is from that region. and works in FCA, part of that church.
Wonderful.
I don't remember his name.
Matt Rupp?
That sounds good.
Okay.
We'll go with it.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah, you guys have a real fellowship of people that you work together with, doing similar things, conducting the camps and all of that. Now, tell me a little bit about your playing days. We talked, you didn't actually play for FSU. We've got that all straightened out. But you actually were a Hoosier.
I was a Hoosier. As a high schooler from Fort Myers, I couldn't put Indiana on a map. I knew it was up by one of those lakes up north.
Oh, man, now you're hurting me. That's my home area.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you from?
Evansville, Indiana. Yeah.
That's right, right.
Yeah, southwest part.
Yeah. So, you know, I get up there and they do play football in Indiana, I promise. But I remember my recruiting visit. We were walking in to Assembly Hall, the basketball gym there, and it just happened to be about 4:30 in the afternoon. Bobby Knight was holding basketball practice, and we were very nicely told to exit the building as fast as possible by Bobby himself. So he did.
Was it nicely, or was it followed by a chair being thrown at you?
We had to duck, but it was maybe as nice as Bobby could get. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's quite a reputation he has up there.
Yeah.
But they love him.
They do. IU.
Yeah.
They do. Yeah, well, you either love or you hate him, but
most people love him. Yeah. So I can't imagine playing football, you were in a big school. I mean, I use a big school. What's that like at that level?
Yeah, the Big Ten was amazing. We had some great environments to play in. I enjoyed playing on the road a little bit more than I did at home, probably because you got Michigan and Ann Arbor and Penn State, and we even played on the road at Oregon one time. And so those environments are amazing. I can't say we went to any bowl games or had any winning records, but we did score quite a few points. We had a guy named Antoine Randall, who was our quarterback, putting up 30, 40 points a game. So being a place kicker was fun, but our defense gave up about 45 points. So,
Yeah. I know that the basketball side of IU always much more successful than was the football side.
Yeah.
But again, like you said, you're playing in stadiums where there had to be a rush when you've got almost 100,000 people in some of those stadiums.
It was. I think my favorite environment might have been Oregon. They handed everybody a kazoo because they're the Ducks. And these,
I did not know that.
Inflatable wings that they put together. And there's only, I think, 55, 60,000 people. That was the loudest environment I think I've ever been in. And we ended up walking away with an upset, the top 25 teams. Oh. So that was our biggest win during my time there.
Oh, that had to be fun. And again, all of these experiences add to the palette of your life where you're able to draw from those experiences when you're talking to these athletes that you deal with in FCA.
Yeah, the Lord has really put together some great platforms and a resume I could have never dreamed up. That gives me quality as I walk into these locker rooms and try to connect with the student athletes. Mm.
So 2009, you kind of hire in as an FCA guy. And shortly thereafter, give us the little timeline between that and a move to India.
Sure. So I was working in Washington, D.C. at the Pentagon, overseeing the fitness department of the Pentagon Police. There was about 700 officers there that I was responsible for keeping donuts out of their hand and keeping them in shape so they could chase the bad guys down. And loved what I was doing, but like you said earlier, started to volunteer in the community, connected back with FCA from what I knew, and started volunteering on some local teams in the locker room on a couple campuses. And shortly thereafter, maybe 6 to 12 months of volunteering, was invited to join FCA staff. And at the time, I had no clue what that meant. I was about to get married, and the Lord just spoke very clearly to us that this was a shift He wanted for the long term into full-time ministry.
Wow. So you went from being a worker, was it like in physical therapy? Is that what your major was?
No, strength and conditioning. So yeah, exercise science was my master's degree in Indiana, and I started working for the Jacksonville Jaguars straight out of college and then moved up to oversee the fitness direction of the Pentagon Police. So came from the fitness and coaching world and then just naturally fit right into FCA.
On the day of recording, of course, Jacksonville has made the news today with the departure of the former Florida Gator coach Urban Meyer.
Oh boy, we knew it was coming. It's a loss, but I think hopefully that program can move on.
Yeah, it's not been a stellar year this year.
It's been a difficult ride for a while.
Yeah, you used the word distraction, and there have been a few of those things going on with the Jaguars. But those Jag fans out there, they are loyal, and they're believing for better days.
Hang in there, guys. Hang in there.
So tell me about now, you came from this area, Washington, D.C., moved to Central Florida, in position, then you're going to be transitioning to India.
Sure. So, like I just mentioned, joined staff with FCA in Washington, D.C., worked there for several years, building that out. But the Lord just put on my wife's heart and my heart together since we were married to work overseas in some capacity. So we sought out some organizations that gave us the opportunity to do that. And Pioneers was one, located right here in Lake Nona, a suburb of Orlando, where we could come and get trained and then be sent to an unreached people group, which means there's less than 0.1% of that population has believers.
So would you say your job description at that point would not have been like an FCA type of job description, but it was more like a missionary then?
It was, yeah. Jumped into the missionary side of things, went through cross-cultural training, language training, took a couple vision trips to India to see where we would land.
Did you learn the language?
When we landed full-time, we did. We joined classes on a daily basis, 3 to 4 hours, and it was a grind. It was a grind.
But what was the dialect that you learned?
It was Hindi. Mm-hmm. Yep. And Hindi the script is completely different. And they've got about 45 different characters. And so we're sitting there across the table trying to learn farm animals and all the things that a 2 or 3 year old would be learning. So it was a humble situation, but one that grew our faith as well.
Now, one of the things that happened to you while you were there that ended up changing the trajectory of your life was an incident with your son.
Yeah. So our youngest of three at the time was 3 or 4 years old when we went to India, and his hearing just declined rapidly. It was something that I think we had a little bit hint about on the U.S. side of things. But once we got to India, it went from about 90% of hearing capacity down to about 25 within a year of landing.
So you guys, in addition to being told this by professionals, you could see it yourself.
We could, and you saw frustration in him. He couldn't communicate. He was at the age where he just wanted to connect with his siblings and with us, and he's in a different culture. And there was just a lot of trying and frustration within our family and for him personally. You just felt for him.
How long do they think that he was fighting with this on the U.S. side?
You know, he's got something that they found called Usher's syndrome. And with Usher's syndrome, you lose your hearing as a child. Some lose it at birth. Others decline when you hit 2, 3, 4 years old. And that was our son's story. It was just the perfect timing that as we landed in India, it wasn't a parasite or anything that we ate or drank. But it was Usher's syndrome where there, he mm-hmm. lost his hearing. And then as an adult, along with that, we'll be losing his vision as well.
Yeah, that's something where we got to pray about, because friends that are listening to this, pray for this young man. What's his name?
Jackson Brocker.
Jackson. Let's pray for Jackson that he won't go that direction, that God would just touch this young man. Because again, the trajectory of this illness is not only for a hearing loss, but vision loss as well. And so we'll be praying for Jackson. But the news about his hearing actually... you moved back to the United States give him treatment, which that was, I think, a wonderful thing to do. Obviously, that's changing again. What you're doing, no longer now going to be a missionary in Jaipur in India, but you're moving back to the United States, and he is being treated, right?
He is, yes. Yeah. So our idea was to stay in India long term, 7+ years, and the Lord had different plans for us. And
as he sometimes does.
Yeah. praise him for that. But I would say the last couple of years have been some of the most trying for my wife and I individually and as a couple, but they've been one where we're being pruned and grown in our faith. And so as we landed back in the States, the Lord put together a care team for our son, from an ENT to an audiologist, a speech pathologist, and even a school right here in Maitland that works with kids with hearing loss. And so he's been just loved on and treated over the last year since we landed.
And he's received a couple of implants.
Yeah, cochlear implants, which is just amazing. It bypasses the eardrum and takes the audio straight to the brain. And we've got both of those implants over the last 12 months and have seen him grow from a place of being able to say a couple words together, like more please or water. Water, please. To now, he's got run-on sentences, and we have to tell him at the dinner table to take a minute and hold on.
Yeah,
give the rest of us a chance.
And do they ever have any way of like playing back for the parents of the children who receive these cochlear implants what what audio sounds like to them. Have you been able to hear that yourself?
We have a little bit, and it sounds very robotic at first, but just the human brain and the way God designed us, we adapt to it. And so his speech sounds just like anybody else would. He's got a little bit of a lisp just from his challenges throughout mm-hmm. life, but it's incredibly amazing what technology the Lord's given us and how he's grown my son over the last year.
That's really, I think most people who had never heard of a cochlear implant did hear about it when Rush Limbaugh, very highly publicized event and somebody that a lot of people knew about, because he was losing his hearing completely as well. And this brought it back to a great degree. I think that they say listening to music is probably one of the biggest differences. You don't hear quite the fidelity.
Yeah. And 10 to 15 years ago, sign language probably would have been the option for our son and others with that syndrome. But knowing that he's going to lose his vision, sign language really wasn't an option for us. So mm-hmm. praise the Lord, but we are in this season in history.
What a time that we live in today with technology being what it is, and they can do this. And I know that there's like a permanent type of like a little headpiece or something that he must wear, right?
There is. There's a magnet on the inside and on the outside that attaches. And when it detaches, he can't hear a thing. When it attaches, he can hear everything. And so at nighttime, if he doesn't want to listen to you, he just takes those things off and the world is silent to him and he's in his peace.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. We'll be praying for Jackson on both the hearing and the visual situation, that God would again give him a miracle. Tell me a little bit about your work here in Central Florida with FCA.
Sure. So I stepped back into FCA staff as we landed. I called the FCA office and said, "Do you guys need any help?" They said, "You know, we've got a place for you with your history and your background. We'd love to find a place for you on the team." So I joined about a year ago, and have been really trying to fill some spaces where we had a staff retire in Daytona. So I've been heading out to Daytona Beach 2 to 3 times a week, just trying to bring that area through transition and keep the ministry up, especially coming off the pandemic, just trying to grow that back. And then out in the villages in Sumter County, you would think, are there any students out that way? And maybe there's grandkids is what I tell people.
A lot of older people in golf carts.
In golf carts and their grandkids that are in high school.
Yeah,
so
right.
it's been good to see. That's the extent of our Central Florida region. It's been great to get on the ground in both areas.
What about Daytona did you find when you went there?
You know, coming off the pandemic, there were very few opportunities for serving clubs on campus. So the FCA clubs across the state of Florida and really across the country had come to a close, where they were meeting maybe virtually, but not in person. So we had to restart all of our programs from a couple of years ago. And then team ministry, a lot of those doors were closed in certain areas. And so just rebuilding that relationships and trying to get a restart to a lot of our ministry ties.
Mm-hmm. I know that obviously the camps have historically been a real way that a lot of kids were introduced, maybe for the first time, to FCA. Do you see the day that some of these football camps will once again go back?
You know, I'd love to say I hope so, but it actually happened this past summer. So we down at Lakeland, we had a leadership camp with about 350 students that attended, and they were trained up to lead ministry on their campuses.
Oh, really?
The doors had just opened prior to the summer, and so it was amazing to see them together. And then we had a 7-on-7 football camp. So we had 3 teams from Daytona and probably, I think, about 20 to 30 teams total down there, where they're out on the field sweating and playing against each other and really competing well, and then diving into Bible study and hearing the gospel. And so that, you're right, the camps are such an exposure to kids that don't come from a spiritual background and a home that has that kind of platform.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. What are you looking for to happen at the end of this year? Are things already shut down with the holidays almost here?
They are. Yeah. A lot of Christmas parties are being had by our FCA mm-hmm. groups. It's just a great way to bring the message of Jesus into the Christmas message on our high school campuses. But yeah, we're shutting down. As the school is shut down, we really slow down quite a bit.
That's a fun time for the kids as they come to the break, and all of that is going to happen. And it's really crazy how we look back, and the 2021 will always be a bit of a strange year because of 2020. And now we're hopefully going to be launching into a year where it'd be more like normal than what we've had in a couple of years.
Yeah. I think our students are feeling that too. As the teachers, even the teachers, it's getting back into the rhythm of what life looks like on campuses. It is different than it used to be, but at the same time, I think they're finding the comfort that they used to and finding some of the rhythms and paths that they used to walk. And so I think momentum is really growing, not just amongst FCA on campuses, but I think just the spirit of the students and the teachers on campus as well.
Wonderful. Adam Brocker is my guest. We'll be back with him one more time. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. You're on The Shepherd. Adam Brocker is my guest today from Central Florida FCA. I know that you've mentioned that you're really working with Volusia County, especially, and on into Lake County, I guess, with the villages and the groups, the schools that are in those regions in Central Florida, all within the Shepherd audience. And we're grateful that we have this opportunity to talk to people like you, FCA, one of my favorite parachurch ministries that are going on. But I love the fact that you work so wonderfully with the local churches. And that's something. Now, I know that your work in the schools, you're facing things today. FCA is facing things today in a culture like in which we live, where you're having to deal with things that your predecessors did not have to deal with, right?
Sure. The culture and the tides are changing, and the cancel culture is out there, making FCA maybe not as culturally favorable, right? So as a student, and we face this in DC, I think now that we're facing it in Florida, not popular to be a Christian and have those values and have those views. So really putting yourself out there by coming into FCA and then stepping up as a student leader, you've got a target on your back.
That's not altogether a bad thing for a young person to learn quickly that you have to stand up, because the Bible really has told us that this is what's going to happen.
Right. And persecution's all throughout the Bible.
Yeah.
And we see it throughout the world. And yeah, we're starting to face it a little bit here.
So what advice do you give kids when it comes to their need to own their own faith, their need to stand up for the name of the Lord? How do you talk to kids about that?
Yeah, well, become biblically literate. Know the word, know the truth that God has given us and that your values are based on. Be able to feed scripture to those who don't know. Mm-hmm. And then love well, you know, love well. And that doesn't mean inclusivity or to say that those things are right, that people might be walking in, but to come alongside and try to understand where they are and speak truth in love when the Lord gives it to you. So yeah, stand strong, love well, and know truth. At the end of the day, that's what you got to speak.
Now, you are one who went through a broken set of parents yourself, your family affected by divorce. How many of the kids that you ministered, does it seem like one out of two?
It really does. Yeah. And I know it's spoken about whether that's in a Christian home or not. 50% of the student athletes that we typically work with are coming from a broken environment, looking for someone that cares, looking for someone to dive into those messy stages of life that they're in, just trying to figure out who they are. Hormones floating all around, in a home environment, maybe not one that's healthy, that they can feel free to share some of the struggles they have.
Now, going back to that man that was in your life, that guy who came in, the pastor who really served not only that school and that team, but also FCA with just kind of like giving love and giving questions and giving acceptance. Do you see that today's kids, in comparison to when you were a student, do you see that today's kids are open to having an individual like that?
I think so. And I think they're looking even more for relationships, you know, to come into a group and to try to share a message with a big group that may not be received as well as it used to be. But if you continue to show up and show that you do care and that you'll be back tomorrow, just like this pastor did, I think that goes a really long way in today's society with these kids.
I know you're part of something called FCA Sports. Tell us about that.
So FCA Sports, you know, we've done some sports specific thing outside of the campus before, whether putting a local baseball team together or a local lacrosse team or track and field. But FCA Sports from our headquarters in Kansas City this February will be launching internationally a new brand that allows us to create local FCA sports leagues, local FCA clubs, and really dive even further into the community on a sports and faith level, connecting the two. And what we've seen, If you've had a kid that's in youth sports, you've probably seen him coached by an unloving coach, one that's just there for the win. Mm-hmm. And
the yelling and all of that.
Everything that comes with that. Yeah, and we're, you know, hoping to bring light to that culture, not just the gospel, but to bring holistic life to that.
What do you think is the biggest challenge that FCA faces going into 2022?
Goodness. Yeah, probably just the tide of the culture changing. But there's so much hope. You know, the Lord always has an answer to regardless of what our culture faces and what they throw at us. He's got a plan, and if we ever have a closed door, he's 10 steps ahead of that with a creative door open for us. So, mm-hmm. you know, FCA Sports, I think, will be an avenue. I think out of the 60 million young athletes that play ball, I think 40, 45 million of those are on the youth community fields that FCA Sports will allow us to get on. And so the Lord's ahead of the game. He knows where we need to be, and he's opening that door for us.
So as you can see it right now, even with the cancel culture and all of the stuff that's going on, political correctness, blah, 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 all of that, you still see that the huddles are still taking place, the camps are still on the schedule, and by and large, there's not a lot different right now in the schools, even with the pandemic, right?
Yeah, I think the difference is... The students that are coming are the ones that are real in their faith, right? The ones that were just coming for pizza or maybe a fun game, may not be there as often anymore. And so, you know, there hasn't been a whole lot of change.
Mm-hmm. What is the likelihood of people who love FCA and would like to be involved somehow? Maybe they were athletes when they were in school, maybe not. Is there an openness for volunteerism inside of FCA?
Sure. We understand as FCA staff, we are just one person in the kingdom, and the plan God has given us to build that kingdom involves many gifts that we all come together for in the body. And so we're all in different stages of life and seasons of life. We ask that you'd pray about time, talent, or treasure and how to join within FCA. If that means volunteering at your local high school, or local campus, then that's one way. But if you're limited on time, then maybe you link arms with us to serve us on a higher level in strategic ministry thinking. You know, a lot of us come from coaching backgrounds, come from ministry backgrounds. I think anyone with a business mindset even can come alongside of us and help us develop plans for growing FCA in the local area.
Do you ever have any coaching aspirations yourself?
Gosh, at this point in my career, it would be tough for me to dive back into it. I love being in the weight room and helping individuals individually and one-on-one, but probably not at a level that I was at.
I tell you, that's such a big love for so many of the FCA guys that I've talked with before, and getting to talk to the coaches. Now that's something I know you do. You still get the fellowship with a lot of coaches because not only are you reaching out to students, but you get to minister to these coaches as well.
Yeah. And ministry to coaches is so great. You know, those guys are going, they're not getting paid much, right? And their jobs have just gotten harder over the last decade.
Yeah. Some coaches are even part-time and, you know, they're not like full-time people. Right.
A lot of your coaches are coming, working full-time jobs off campus and then coming to the school to coach after school. So their schedules are full. The expectations administratively are really high. The complaints by the parents continue to increase. And so to come alongside them and just meet them where they're at in their walk with Jesus or not even walk with Jesus and to say, how can we love on you and serve you and just be a listening ear is a great place of ministry.
What's the most exciting thing that you're looking forward to in this new year?
Gosh, you know, alongside FCA Sports, I think just the continued open doors that we have on teams. I think FCA, especially in Florida, has always been a big football ministry, right? Mm-hmm. You've got football camps, you've got track and field, maybe basketball, but like I said, some of those sports that don't receive as much love and appreciation, we're really looking to serve those students. And the doors are just very open. So as we look at a high school campus locally, there's 26 varsity sports on your local campus, men's and women's. And how can we reach all 26 of those teams is how we're looking at a campus now. Instead of just having one FCA huddle that meets weekly, how can we intentionally love and reach every single student athlete on those campuses? Mm-hmm.
All right, now here it is. It's the question for the ages, friends. You've got a host here that loves the Gators, a guest who has loved the Seminoles. Both teams have suffered a little bit this past year. What do you think this next year is going to hold for your team?
Goodness. The Noles are looking like they've got to jump on the Gators. The Gators are going to have to regroup. I don't even think the Gators are walking away with a W. That the UCF's going to come away with a W in the bowl game, and I think that the Florida State, not only a winning record, but maybe a 9-3 season, is a possibility. Coach Norvell's done a great job laying a foundation, but it takes time.
So you're saying that UCF is going to take the Gators in the bowl then?
Yeah, I'll give them 6. Maybe not a full touchdown, but I think I'll take UCF by 6. John Evans, that one was for you.
Okay, because he's going to be interested in what you had to say about that one. Yeah. Man, it's really been great to have you up here, Adam, and to talk about your life and to really be inspired by the way you and your wife have responded. Some of the challenges that came to your way were difficult. And you're still walking through some of those things.
We are. Yeah. And to anyone out there facing challenges that just seem like they're enduring and will never end, just stay strong in your faith. Just stay steadfast. Trust in the Lord. This season may not have a light at the end of the tunnel, but the Lord is good and the Lord knows exactly what we need. And my wife has been a foundation for me through this. She has been one to take care of a child with special needs and a husband in ministry all the way to India and back. You know, to all the wives out there, praise you, praise you.
That's great. How can people get in touch with you? Or maybe people would like to donate to what you're doing.
Sure. Right through our website, centralfloridafca.org. You can find out about all our programs, not just on campus, but as FCA Sports continues to grow out. And there's obviously a donate link. You can reach me personally through that website or by email at abrocher@fca.org. That's abrocher@fca.org.
All right, Adam, thanks for dropping by today and being with me.
You bet. Thank you so much for your time.
Before we go today, I've got a clip from last Friday's The Briefing with Reverend Al Mohler. That is very important, just a couple of minutes to kind of give you something to watch about, certainly something to pray about. This is from The Briefing from Friday, the 17th of December, Reverend Al Mohler.
We're going to be talking about both of these issues just after the first of the year on The Briefing, but I'm talking about what happened yesterday when the Food and Drug Administration made its announcement that it is going to make permanent a loosening of the law in the United States and the policies of the FDA about mail order abortion, that is to say, medical abortions by mail. This is a huge issue, and the pro-abortion movement just gained a massive victory here. It's going to take some time for us to unpack this story, the politics behind it, the worldview significance, but let's just state the obvious. This is an intentional effort to make killing unborn babies easier, in order to make the abortion of babies by medication more common, in order to try to thwart pro-life gains when it comes to legislation, particularly restricting abortion. It's hard to come up with a bigger issue than this. It's going to take a few days for us to look at various angles of this particular development. But on the other hand, there's another big story out, and it is equally ominous. But this one is not about abortion. It is rather about LGBTQ issues. The government of Canada has adopted a radical ban on what the government calls conversion therapy, but in reality, as we shall see, it could well mean a ban on authentic biblical Christian ministry. Because criminalized in this law is not only what might be defined as conversion therapy, what is also now legally forbidden is what would ordinarily be described as Christian ministry, right down to churches teaching on this issue, and Christian ministers counseling with their own church members, even praying with them over these issues. We have seen similar developments coming into shape in the United Kingdom, but we need to recognize that this is not just about radical legislation still coming into shape in the United Kingdom, now passed in Canada, but we need to recognize that these developments will not remain in the United Kingdom. This logic will not be limited to Canada. LGBTQ activists in the United States want, at least, to bring about the very same shape of legislation And this really is one of the most clear threats to the integrity of Christian ministry that we have faced in our lifetimes.
That is Albert Mohler from albertmohler.com, his daily podcast called The Briefing. It's on Christmas break now, but it will resume after the first of the year. That's all of our time for today. Thanks for being with us here on Afternoons with Mike.